truth though. That's the brand new Del the Funky Homo Sapien track. Once again, we extend our open arms, or should I say open hands, to Crash Crew. Thank him for the time. We'll keep in touch. We're Heatmakers Crash Crew in 2009. And of course, Warren G before that, and Kasha straight from the UK. He should be at home now. I wonder if he is in tune or any of his crew in tune. Anyway, let's keep things moving. We've got Gore-Tex on the way. The man is full of anger and with justification. You're going to hear the full breakdown about non-fiction, the truth, not the necro-influenced truth, but the real truth. We're going to hear a lot of truths when we talk to Gore-Tex later on in about half an hour, something like that, here on the Conspiracy Worldwide show. So don't touch at anything at all. You must stay with us for that, because it's going to be, I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of things you never ever knew coming out there. And I just, I hope it doesn't get too heated, particularly with my history and involvement. But anyway. I'm just a God save the Queen type. That's my problem, you see.
Apparently so. Yeah. Well,
I'm just a. I do try hard, though. I do try hard as kind of a bit of a mummy's boy. I do try hard. But anyway,
we're just Viking prisoners, that's all.
Sorry, all listeners out there don't know what the hell we're talking about now. We're talking about all the little forum Twitters are all out there, you know, passing judgment about myself. And we're just reading out a few of their very intelligent comments. And that came from a Scottish person. That I'm just a God save the Queen type. Well, you'd know, mate, wouldn't you? Anyway, let's bring on a legend, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it, definitely, definitely.
Apologies, I
think the last time we got him on was, what, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? So it's been a minute.
Yeah, time flies. And
apologies
if my indigestion becomes a problem in a second, because my stomach bug from last night is certainly retaliating at this time. But I'm just fighting it back. I wasn't very well last night, and it's been off work today again. But anyway, there we go. Right, let's keep things bouncing then, and let's bring on our next guest. His name is the DOC. Again, like I said before, have you never heard of him? Well, I don't know where you've been. You must be 12 years old.
Hello.
Hello, DOC. Welcome back to the Friday Night Live Show. It's great to hear you again, man. It's great to have you on the show. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to somebody who has been on the mic, behind the mic, around the studio boards, everything, you know?
Yeah, that's me. Let's do it all.
That's it, man. The story. That's what I'm going to call you, the story, man. Listen, man, now we just spoke to Warren G about an hour ago up on the show. We mentioned that we were popping up. He said he was with you just Sunday, I think. And he was saying, listen, DOC has got something. He says, I'm not going to spoil it, but DOC has a huge surprise for the world in store. And he was going to wait until you came on for you to explain. So I hand over to yourself, man. What's this huge surprise? What are you about to hit the world with?
Oh, I don't even want to go into it. Right now, you know, it's still in the beginning stages. I mean, it's really too big to try to encapsulate into 15 minutes worth of conversation, you know. But the short version is, it looks like I might be getting my voice back this year. Doctors think it's a 60-70% chance I can come out of an operation with pretty much
your voice,
maybe 70% close to what I had before the accident.
That is fantastic news. I mean, we spoke about 18 months ago, and you did mention that there was a possibility. So now to speak 18 months on, and for you to say to us now that this looks like is, you know, it's a 70% chance I will have, you know, I have my 70% of my voice back after an operation.
Right.
You know, that's one hell of a development, man. That's such a blessing.
The operation is kind of a dangerous one.
Okay.
So I'm still weighing, you know, these things in my mind. But I really, you know, it just feels right. And I really feel like I want to I want to do it, you know. So I'm waiting until we finish with this Detox record. We should be done by with the record by the summertime, and then I'm gonna really sit on it and seriously consider being cut up.
Yeah, it's one hell of a decision, as you just mentioned there, you alluded to. I mean, it's. I think it would be a euphemism. It would be, like you said, it would be inappropriate to go into the pros and cons, the possibilities and everything, and the technical aspects of the operation. I mean, it's a case of, like you said, you know, you have a feeling, you know, you have faith, and this would be something that you'll be possibly pursuing this year. But I mean, it would be an absolute, you know, a godsend if the operation went, you know, and you got 70% of your voice back. I mean, the implications of that are tremendous for hip-hop, not just for yourself. Listen, I'm going to hand over to my co-host, Menace. I know you've been talking to him a lot on Twitter this week, so I'm going to just hand over to my man there, and he's going to pick up, and we'll talk about music, we'll talk about 2009, etc. Menace.
How you doing, dog? Pleasure to get you back on the show, man.
What's up, kid? I'm glad to be back, man. It's all good.
Good. We were talking earlier this week on Twitter, and we were talking about if after this operation, you know, if this operation is a success, you would like to collaborate with Chuck D. I'm just wondering, do you have it mapped out in your head which direction you want to go in terms of collaborations and musical direction?
Now, first of all, let me correct you. It is when this operation is a success, not if.
Right.
Because I'm not going to do it unless I know it's going to be a success. So it's not if it's successful. It is when it is successful.
Right,
and
right, yeah.
In my humble opinion, rap is about to go through another morph. I think, for lack of a better word, what you've been calling gangster rap is playing its last songs. This is just my humble opinion. I'm nothing against gangster rap music. I'm one of the guys that kind of started that thing. But it's been 20 years, and society can't. So you have to be able to read the tea leaves. Society can't allow the next generation of babies to get lost in some bullshit. So, and the powers that be, mark my words, are going to start making a move in the music that they sell the masses. We all know that the sheep are led by the flute and the lights. So, some things are going to change. And my style, I guess, for lack of a better term, fits right into that time. It is time for some revolution music, but not the kind that we've been having. You know, it's a different kind of revolution going on. It's a Beatle kind of revolution, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's really some John Lennon shit going on around the world right now, and everybody's involved in it. I mean, you can feel the energy on Twitter. I've never been on in a situation where so many people from so many different places all having a single thought at one time and trying to interact with each other. That's some phenomenal worldwide shit. And in my guesstimation, this is where the direction of music is going, to a point where we understand that we are all in this together, the good, the bad, and the ugly. As a matter of fact, where I wish that black people had went years and years before, if they could stop pointing the finger at the bad seed and holding up the good seed, you know, when the good seed gets just as drunk as the bad seed, you just do it better, you know. It's not a blame game. We all in this shit together. We all doing it the same way. It's just a matter of getting together on the same team and making sure what we produce is beneficial to everybody.
Right. So, I mean, in your opinion, how do you feel, dare I use the term, how do you feel gangster rap is going to survive, you know, in the age of Obama, and how do you think it's going to evolve over these years now?
Well, like I just said, I think gangster rap, in the sense that you've been hearing it, is going to morph into something else. There's only so many times you could see a movie about a kid who was a dope dealer, and then he made records and became rich, and then he died before you go, oh, I'm tired of that shit, you know? You don't want to go see that movie no more. Now you want to see the more interesting, intricate stories that took place within all of that shit. Because we all know the world. We all know that drugs move this world, you know, just like music moves this world. Mm. We know that the shit's not grown here. We know that these young black boys and Latin boys that are going to prison all over the place, we know that they're not trucking that shit in here. So the accountability is going to change. Like blaming gangster rap for social ills is like blaming the drug itself for the crime and not the person selling it for possession.
Exactly.
That is to say, you attack the rapper, yet the people that make all the money, you never mention their name. And I don't want to mention their name either, because I know what kind of world we live in. You say the wrong name, and next time I have an accident, I won't survive. I mean, but it's all good, you know. It's all good. Like I always say, it's a G-O-D thing, not a D-O-C thing. And the fact that I'm able to, even the possibility of me having my voice back at this time, with the frame of mind I have, and the things that I have to say, really makes me feel like this is the age of Aquarius is coming. You know, because I'm a nigga. I'm a nigga for life. I made the record. I was born a nigga. I'm a die nigga. But I'm a thinking man at the same time. I never sold drugs. It's not in my heart. You know, you got to have a certain kind of mentality to make your living off somebody else's death. I don't have that in me. I'd rather do the dope than sell the dope. But in these days and times, I don't want to do the dope no more. Matter of fact, I don't want them to do the dope. I'd rather them see the light inside themselves and find the beauty that exists in them and come up in other ways. Because there's a zillion and one ways to make money in this world. We've reached the dot-com era where you can go from a broke nigga in West Dallas one day to a billionaire the next day with a good idea. You don't have to sell drugs. That's not the ticket. That's not the key. It's not cute. But at the same time, I don't have anything negative to say about anybody who does. That's not my way. You know, I'm just here to provide a what if. I started writing a song this morning about how gangster rappers, how gangster niggas, they don't feel pain. You never hear it in their records. The only pain they feel is if they get shot. They don't feel the kind of pain that regular people go through in life. At least that's what the records would tell you. Mm. Their feelings don't get hurt when they family get fucked up, or somebody that's really close to them and that's not a gangster well on with them passes. They don't feel the kind of real pain that human beings go through because they insane in the membrane, you know.
Exactly.
But that's not reality. That's television. So when you start to speak about human qualities that every man, woman, and child possess, then it goes beyond all that gangster shit. And to me, that's the most gangster shit of all. When you got nuts enough to stand up to the gangster shit and say that's a bunch of bullshit, and not worry about motherfuckers stalking you or making records about you saying I'm gonna do this to you. I've heard these guys make records about each other for fucking 20 years and ain't nobody got hurt yet. I know when Biggie Smalls and Tupac unfortunately passed, I would be willing to bet my last on it that neither one of those gentlemen had anything to do with the other one's passing. So it's the game itself that is screwed up. We've allowed it to be skewed because the powers that be make money off of it. Mm. We are the sheep being led by the lights and the flutes. And I'm no different from the rest of them. When I had my car accident, I lost my fucking mind. I was all over the place. I think I tried to do every drug a man can do. And yet I'm still here. I'm not a gangster by any means. Never stole, never sold, never shot, never stabbed, never killed. Yet, I've hung out with every gangbanger, seem like on the West Coast. I've been in every hood on the West Coast. Been in every hood down there, Chicago, Detroit, New York, and wherever else I can go. And motherfuckers respect me because they see the light in me, number one. I'm not the enemy. And number two, I'm God's son. Where I go, God go. And if you fuck with me, you're fucking with the man. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Sorry to cut you short. Carry on. I'm listening. Sorry to cut you short.
No, you got me. You got me a little started here. I didn't want to just burn up your TV show, burn up your radio show with...
No, you're not. You're not. You're dropping jewels and people need to be hearing it. So keep going, man.
So that was the reason I asked you to ask Chuck about doing a song with me and Rage. Because Rage Against the Machine is somebody I always wanted to work with. Because they shit, to me, was funky like Dre shit. Mm. And the guy that was rapping, he had one of the craziest, sickest voices ever. And he was a fucking radical. Now you put him and Chuck together, and you already got some really ill shit, and you throw me off in there. Let me throw a little conscious air off in the picture. Of course, where I go, Dr. Dre goes. So, man, you got a potent-ass piece of material that might be really good or do something special. I want to put 12 of those kind of songs together, along with 12 of the regular kind of songs, if you will. And I, you know, I don't mind doing songs with Soulja Boy. I mean, Lord bless me with my voice back and I can rap. I will rap with Martha fucking Stewart if she ready to get out, goddammit. It don't matter. Let's make it happen, Martha.
Why not? I mean, to me, I feel like right now, you know, I'm hearing a rebirth as far as the DOC brand goes and the direction of the West Coast sound is concerned. And, you know, like you said, how you plan to revolutionize the industry. I mean, how do you think, lyrically, how do you think your frame of mind has changed with regards to writing rhymes today, you know, compared back to the 80s where, of course, it was all about substances we just mentioned?
Yeah, well, once it turned to pimp hoes and dope and thugs and bitches and dick sucking and all that shit, everything else got lost, you know. They shine the light so bright on the dirty shit that it just clouded out all the other shit. And the huge record companies, they put all their money behind the negative shit. Not that that's a bad thing, because you can't have positive without negative. But
right,
you can't completely ignore the positive part of it. Now, my thing has always been, most of the positive people, they always speak from a perspective that sets them apart somehow from niggas, like, you know, the thug niggas. But there is no difference. I mean, there's no difference between common sense and Eazy-E. They both niggas. They both do nigga shit. I wouldn't give a fuck how clean common sense body is and mine and better that or how dirty he is. It's all the same shit. Mm. They're trying to get some money, feed their family, get some girls and go to the room and do what they do and all of that, you know. It's pretty simple. But when you separate yourself from one another, and one person tries to put himself on a pedestal above the other for whatever reason, Easy may say, Common is soft. He ain't on my level. Or Common may say, Easy's a thug-ass nigga. He's not on this spiritual level, but it's all the same. If you guys could figure out your commonalities, no pun intended, and figure out a way to make what we do work for all of us, and in the meantime get your money too, then hip-hop could have been like in the NBA or some shit, doing commercials for United Way or something. I had one person that could have did that, said he's had enough of rap and went and got his Dalai Lama home, and these young boys don't know how to be organized and structured and hold it down like that. But old boy could have controlled all of this stuff because he's a powerful spirit and he's a thug nigga from Jump Street. He understands them guys like they understand themselves. He just got lifted up and placed in a position where history since put him on a path where he could take the talent that was around him and become a billionaire. That makes him a legend, and I love him for it.
Mm.
Same thing with a guy like Sean Puffy Combs. You know, a lot of folks would never call that guy a legend when it comes to rapping, but how can you not call him a legend? He came from the street and built himself up into a billionaire for someone making rap records. That's hip-hop, kid. You can call it what you want to, but by my declaration, that when you come from nothing, and no matter what, I'm going to get it, that's hip-hop.
That statement's hip-hop, right, right. Hell absolutely.
Yes. It's not a style of dress or, you know, it's none of that shit. It's a desire that's in your heart. It's a revolution to say, fuck that, I'm going to get it, no matter what they say.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let me ask you this. I mean, as an old schooler, you know what I mean, somebody who's been involved with music, you know, forever, you're obviously somebody who can remember, you know, when it was all about substance, all the matter was substance. And that's always been reflected in your music. I mean, with you having such a timeless catalogue of classics, I've always been curious as to how your music sounds to you personally today. I mean, for every 5 years you choose to revisit an old track, how many times have you been, you know, able to hear something different in comparison to the first time you made that track?
It's an interesting question. I don't listen to old stuff. I learned that from Dre. You know, I never, even when other people play it, I tend to not pay attention to it. You know, I never play No One Could Do It Better songs. I can't remember. I can't remember the last time I heard The Formula or Funky Enough. You know, those things are past. And they did what they were supposed to do. It's about tomorrow. It's not about yesterday. I did a lot of fucking up yesterday. I want to do a lot of fucking up the right way tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's not about, like, Dr. Dre has beats. These things are the sickest thing on the planet. I got about 4 or 5 boxes of those things in my house. You know, I get them free. But I think that is the coolest shit for a nigga that I started with, and now he has signature headphones that are the hottest thing on the street. That is bananas to me.
Crazy.
And I missed out on 20 years of being able to see what I was made out of. I always thought that I was supposed to be in the movies, really. More of a writer than a rapper.
Really?
More of an artist than a thug. You know, I just wanted to be around Dre because I knew that his music was the key.
Right. You mentioned you wanted to write movies. I mean, how would you describe your writing today in comparison to back when you dropped this album?
I'm still pretty good.
How How would you describe your methodology? Is there a different approach with how you write your lyrics today?
No. Well, I'm still the same dude. I write from... The place that I write from is an emotional place. And it's when I'm really trying to convey something that means something to me. It's hard to write songs. I don't have a lot of gangster shit left in me. I'm doing my best to help this guy with this detox record, but I'm finding that I just don't have a lot of that left. You know, I'm tired of killing motherfuckers for nothing, and, you know, there's no passion left in it for me. I'm more interested in things that sort of mean something, things that have a theme or an angle or a reason, you know. And the argument that I get is, are the kids going to respond to it? But I think that most of you people are disrespecting the kids. I think kids are 10 times smarter than I was when I was 19. I think they do shit out of rebellion because you don't give them opportunity to see shit or want shit. And in the age of Obama, how you gonna say they hate niggas now? Not that Obama's a nigga, but how you gonna say that, you know? How you gonna say fuck the police when the chief of all the police systems in this country got the same skin color you got? They all have to bow down to Obama. Now, we must all give George W. Bush his props, because if he wouldn't have screwed it up so bad, who knows when we would have seen this day. But now that we've seen it, we must seize the moment, like the man said. Take our country back. It belongs to the people. It don't belong to the government. And as long as they sit on the sideline, feel like, I got mine, it's going to be okay, then it's going to always be on some level fucked up, which it is anyway. But, you know, it's all about, from my perspective, it's all about, you know, when people are going to get the understanding that we are all in this thing together. We are going to win or fail or live or die together. When one go, we all go.
Absolutely.
And this is against the world. You can believe that shit. So if all the gangsters get together and say, fuck it, then it's over with. So we need to figure out what we're going to do about that.
What about unity out there, man? I mean, how do you feel about the level of unity out there on the West Coast right now? I mean, what's it like out there right now?
That's a tough question, you know. The streets is always going to be the streets, but it don't seem like it's as crazy as it was when I was young and hanging out there, but I don't do a lot of hanging out like that no more. You know,
no.
I turned 40 years old this year, and it's just not, you know, that's just not what a 40-year-old man is supposed to be doing. I got a 40-year-old baby named Puma, and she means more to me than shit, anything I've ever had or could have or experienced or can experience in this world. So to me, it's all about putting myself together so she can be proud of her daddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I couldn't tell you about the love and the unity on the streets, though, because as long as these niggas is broke, they're going to fight.
How are you channeling this negativity, you know, that's around you? Not necessarily directly around you, but indirectly around you in your music. I mean, what's at this point of time, what's a typical day in a studio like for you, man?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm DOC, and that's a double-edged sword because they expect a lot from me when I do things. But the positive is everybody shows a lot of respect, you know? Like,
yeah.
They don't get issues and problems from anybody. You know, when I walk in, they just get to bowing down And that shit makes me feel uncomfortable when they do that, you know? Because I don't see myself as this legendary ass, you know, I'm just a regular ass nigga from West Dallas that's trying to get rich and feed his family. But those guys, they see, you know, they see this dude with this big ass globe, afro or some shit, and all they do is tell me all night long how this I am and how that I am, and I remember when this, and I, man, you made me feel like this, and blah, 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 and it's cool, and I really appreciate that. But like I said to you earlier, that was yesterday. Yesterday is gone. We can't bring none of that shit back. What are we going to do tomorrow? Since we're sitting in this studio together right now, what can we do right now to make all of us feel good? Fuck reminiscing, you know?
You know what I think would be really productive for you and very positive? A DOC show, a DOC radio show. I just really think you would have a lot to say.
They don't want to see me on TV because, number one, I talk shit to those who need to be talked shit to that everybody else leaves out. And number two, I'm still a nigga, which means I would be grabbing my nuts a lot. You know, I still do that. And, no, I'm kidding. But, no, Dre and I are talking about doing a reality TV show.
Okay.
Based around this operation and subsequent album. So, say I do this reality show, there's going to be a lot of social commentary involved. There's going to be a lot of righteous speaking from my point of view involved. Gonna be a lot of funny shit because I'm actually a funny dude. You gotta hang around me. My sense of humor is off the chain. I understand most races, from Latin people to Jew people and black people, white people. They all have different timing in their comedy, you know. And I understand a lot of people through their laughter. So I try to make people laugh. My cousins say, from Texas, they say, I really understand the white people. But what it is I understand their humor. You know, what makes them smile? When the exact time to say that next line so they get it, you know? And that's what I'm into. I thought the reality show would be a good platform for me to let the world see who I really was, because nobody got a chance to really see that besides being an outrageously handsome young man. Thank you very much. Yeah. I was actually a funny dude, and I could have jumped easily from that first album to the big screen. You know, I could have been in a movie. Me and Will Smith played a good guy. Mm. I played a guy that wanted to kill his ass, and then we can just make all the money.
Yeah, and the soundtrack. Yeah. But we're both fascinating, man. That it is. Everything we've been talking about and everything you've been talking about, it's just like you said, it's very encapsulating. That's what it is. It kind of captures you. I'm going to ask you the obvious question. I'm probably going to get the obvious answer. But what about Detox? We've said summer. Warren G said summer as well. Is that fairly in concrete at the moment, that release date?
Yeah. Trey's going into overtime, and everybody's surrounding him, all of his major players, if you will. 50 Cent, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, they've all circled around Trey, and now everybody's working on Trey shit.
Yeah. Well, we've seen, you know, so many artists as well. I think Aguilar sent over a CD of beats, and it's like a who's who. Everybody in hip-hop has been sending material in. I mean, I don't suppose you can reveal anything about Detox at this moment in time, can you?
I think that we got about five songs that are fucking smoking. And that's about all I can tell you.
Yeah. No, that'll do. Bit of exclusive news, but I think people expect that. What, let me ask you this, though. I think hopefully you'll be able to clear this. There's been a few leaked tracks out on YouTube, etc., etc. The reports are, obviously, Dre's pissed about this, as you would be. Are they Detox tracks, or are they just literally something that's leaked out?
Yeah, you got leaks. And you got bad leaks, you know? Like, you got this shit. Like, it's really bad. But then again, it could be really good because people seem to really like those leaks. So if they like that shit, you know, then they're going to be shitting in their pants when they get the real shit.
All right, that clears that up. Who's leaking them, though? How did they get out? Have you any idea yet?
I couldn't tell you. I know I didn't do it. Don't blame me.
That's
it,
one.
It was Bishop. It was Bishop Lamont.
Yeah, I bet it was. Joke. I bet it was. Yeah. No, but it's obviously somebody, and this happens a lot. But I just wondered if, you know, if all these people saying, yep. Because I love the way, like, people on the internet, they kind of rejoice in
this. They got it off the,
yeah.
They got it off the web. Yeah. I'm the only one that's allowed to leave the studio with CDs. Mm. It wasn't me.
No.
They got it off. Some hacker got into the system at the studio. And pulled out a lot of shit, and it's my understanding they got a lot more shit.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
You know, I don't know what they plan on doing with it. But if you find out who they are, you might as well write them a death certificate.
Yeah, Bishop's already said he's going to break their legs as soon as he finds out who it is, man. What was the last track you and Dre were working on before you left the studio?
The last track is a song called Dope. And I can't tell you any more about it because if I do, it'll keep it away. You know, but I put it to you like this. Every woman.
Right.
There's not going to be a woman that does not like this record.
All right. Can you reveal any more about that?
No. That's all you can.
Yeah, there you go. So we're not gonna get any more. That, but listen, man. I mean, obviously, this is the talk of the town, and everybody is waiting on it. But so's other artists, obviously, on Aftermath, aren't they? Other artists are waiting for this to come out, and then the gates will open. We know Bishop Lamont will be on the way. Anybody else of note who will be coming after Detox in terms of albums?
Let me put you up on the next guy who is going to be the next it guy in rap music on the West Coast. Bigger than all of them. His name is Slim the Monster. And he is my nephew.
Right.
He is my family, and he has traces of me in him.
Right.
The early me. Mm. He has traces of early Biggie. He has traces of early Jigga. This guy, someone has snatched his spirit right out of 1989, the golden era, and put it into this little boy. And he is fucking incredible. Mark my words, his name is Slim the Monster, and he's the next king of the West Coast.
Wow, yeah. You heard it first here, people. Slim the Mobster. This is a name.
He's the man. Yeah. Little Dio. D.O.C.'s nephew, goddammit. It's in the blood.
Yeah.
Genetics. He's as cold as I ever was.
Genetically dope. That's what it's about.
Yeah. But he's a real thug guy. Like, well, I just wrote the raps. This guy, he does that sort of thing. I'm trying to get him to really see the light, if you will, and come on back and just be a good guy, but he was raised up pretty rough, so I don't know.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for that anyway, and of course, the Detox and, God willing, of course, DOC's next joint, next album, and even the reality show as well. Speaking of hard times, speaking of rough things that happen, man, I mean, of course, last year, how did MC Breed's passing affect you last year?
Well, that was a wake-up call. Mm. You know, Breed meant a lot. And I was just thinking about him a couple hours ago when I was driving home. because he was just, it seemed like he was just here. And we was just sitting at this place eating. And he was talking shit like he always do. Mm. You know, it's just a trip. But we are at the stage in life where we start losing things that are important to us. You know? Mm. And we start to realize how mortal we are. When you're 21 years old, you never think of this kind of shit. Mm. You know, but at 40, you start to understand that you're just a man. You know? And it's not, oh, you're not, everything is not going to be always up. You know what I mean? At one time, S.H.I.E.L.D. was the guy beating up everybody. Now it seems like he's getting beat up every week. Everything changes. Mm.
Yeah.
So, my, you know, if I can impart anything, on these young people that are coming up involved in this rap shit, is, man, it is a gift and a blessing and a privilege to play in the NBA. It's not a birthright. Act like it.
Mm, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Acknowledge the blessing that every single day is. And it does seem like a cliche, but it's the truth. And I understand exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're all about. And that's what DOC is all about. Listen, man, we look forward to everything in 2009. Just before we wrap up, then, I wonder if while we're on and while we're recording, I wonder if we could get a drop for the show from yourself. Would that be okay if we just give you the details?
Absolutely.
Okay, the details.
Tell me what to say.
Okay, the details then. The station is Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. And the show is the Friday Night Live Show.
Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, Friday Night Live.
That's right.
With, that's what you said.
Yeah, with and it's hosted by Mr. Montana and Menace.
Okay. Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, Friday Night Live. Okay.
Yeah, we're ready.
You are, as of right now, this moment, in your lifetime, listening to Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, Friday Night Live, hosted by Montana, my man Menace. This is D into the O, O into the C, C into the period. If you're not hearing this, but you're not fucking hearing it, so stay tuned. We'll be back. Peace.
Absolutely perfect, man. God bless. Have a great evening. Say hello to everybody over at Aftermath for us. We're all looking forward, as the world is, to the to new albums. And we wish you all the best for this year.
Thank you very much, kid.
All right, man. God bless. DOC, the Friday Night Live Show, Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. We thank him for his time. And we move on. We keep things bouncing musically as we get ready for the Gore-Tex interview. It's going to be a lengthy, lengthy interview, this next one, I believe. We're going to be breaking everything down. The truth behind non-fiction, the truth behind psychological, and more importantly, I would have thought, the truth behind certain major, big underground players.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Yo, limp that twisted, broken, mutilated carcass. Living in a harness. Guards all watch us from towers with batons. Firearms and they host us. Shoot to kill marksmen. Keep crosshairs on us. Food make you nauseous. Y'all got you frostbit. They sleep us in shit just to keep us exhausted. Mixed in with monsters, divided and conquered. With a hard-hearted, lawless, a highly regarded chance to touch knowledge, transform the torture. The bars are between you and your roots and your culture. Eat, sleep, shit, sweat, hardship. A godless society's garbage. Twisted mission accomplished. Bars and our sorrows are all that we're armed with. Heart disconnected, punching walls with the raw fist caught in between living and hell in a coffin. Due to death rattle in the metal maze you lost in, boxed in, dropped in a hole and forgotten, frozen to the core of your soul, feel rotten. Name is now numbers, just know your fellow convict love you, brother Ali. Peace, little Rodney.
Jail ain't no nice place to be. Cause if you really ain't bad, you'll know it then.
Said if y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me. And feel free. If y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me. Trapped and locked in the belly of the beast, just like Malcolm Martin. Solomon and Jesus, the last great prophet, may never get released over a penny. Any beef cats will stab you in your sleep. Plus they have to keep lookout for their captor when they creep. They masters of deception and they tragic with their deeds. It's madness that you speak of innocence and guilt in a prison that was built just to generate some wealth. Facilities, they build the industries within themselves that out-earn two-thirds of anything they sell. The gavel and the 13th Amendment give them hell when they feel in the demand for men and women in themselves. Systems stay in business cause the children that it fails get to illin' when they drillin' out of living for themselves. Hopelessness in them is the feeling that prevails. They stealin', killin', slingin', steady filling up them jails.
You know, sometimes, you know, I'll be looking at them and hearing what they say, it seems like they want to go to jail because that's only because, you know, the older brothers that been in jail, they come back out and they brag about it and this and how many heads they done knocked this person out and knocked that person out. And the younger brothers, they be saying, well, I want to do that, you know what I'm saying? So they going to do the crime. Willing to do the time.
If y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me and feel free. If y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me and feel free. If y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me and feel free. If y'all try and talk about the horrors you see, tell your stories through me, brother Ali.
West Coast Pioneers, the DOC, Warren G, and of course the Crash Crew alongside Kasha tonight. We're far from over. We're about to take the gloves off. White Knuckle Radio. We're about to talk to a man who's been blackballed.
You gotta get up and do something for yourself, for yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, frequency.
As we await Gore-Tex tonight,
the new Fight Club up in this bitch.
Super Coven is gonna be with us.
Go by the name of Slaughterhouse. We at it.
He's gonna reveal all he's promised us.
No rule, no rule.
Joey, no rules. Gunshots, no prob, no jewels. Niggas say I got robbed. I'm still wearing my bling and fuck first class. I fly standing on Virgin America's wing. Nuts hang, knocking down skyscrapers. Take a piss, make it rain. I'm the American dream. Make it rain, I ain't Pac-Man Jones. Nigga, balls in my word, all a black man owns.
If you in that man's zone, how you figure the game? Can't bowl a 300 in another nigga lane. Better aim, dealing with a 7-10 split.
That's Long Beach, cause we on some 7-10 shit. I've been nice since 227, man. Shit, I am sick and I'm never getting better, that's it. Give me something sharp to sever that brick. Like a group broke up, I would dismember that click. I'm a veteran, remember that shit. We some internet rappers, then why you on our internet dicks? We'll be there when it's war calling. Either we high or we fly or the floor falling. I'm a Tommy gun, it ain't no best. The rap game like the St. Louis versus New York battle, nobody won. A bunch of fucking twos and threes like zone defense.
Please get that dude Ortiz.
Now you beat.
Hold up, won't stop. Can't stop, think pop, hawk at it. Gotta get a wall first like a bank shot.
get it clear. Or coke had the thin line between front to phone, let the shit disappear. This fiscal year, I'ma stay hot buzzing with dudes that help me shoot like A-Rod cousin. Walk in my shoes and your feet get callous. From Jersey City to Caesar's Palace, I beat with malice just to make sure the street gets salvaged. Real talk, where would all us be without it? Slaughterhouse, no fear. Too many dudes, Tyson Chandler, tried to lead a team and went nowhere.
Like Tyson Chandler in the past, niggas on some bullshit. Royce tell Preem I got a full clip. Whoa. Niggas used to run when they saw Suge face. Faster than Joey and Joel in a foot race. Now you ask me where the incident took place. Don't check the internet, check hood face. You dealing with some intelligent creatures. I'll touch guns, I draw with telekinesis. No fingerprints on Crooked's mag. I'm mixed with good and bad like the good fellas of Jesus. First Biggie and Jay made it. I leave a bandana at your murder and make it gang related. The bitch at the Shoney's told me, homie,
or tis I'm the one and only. Pick a spot, I pick apart your dudes, you pick apart. This ain't a movie, I feel bad like looking at a pick a pop. Niggas' hearts getting sparked every time I give an arch to my wrist and it twists like a slip when I'm sitting in a park. Tall corny niggas ain't making a bigger mark. I'm booth drugs, what I does, got I'm running to get a narc. You guppies unlucky, you in a tank with a shark. Teeth crooked like my dog, would you finish the vicious bark?
Flick a dart through your top hat. We can seize, you cannot rap. Freak, with a drop back. Now you mad at Tahiri cause your ass ain't famous. Get it, nigga, your ass ain't famous. Quit talking about me cause your ass ain't dangerous. They call me Hustler because my mad game heinous. Show up to Detroit thinking everybody love you, and I'ma come and show you that your ass ain't framing. Dumb in every line. Me fucking bitches like the cops after a murder, they coming every time. Shell toes in with Tom Jacket, the contractor. Still pushing elbows like a linebacker. And y'all playing my worldwide bitches on my worldwide watch. I call it the broadband.
Slaughterhouse! Y'all know what it is, man. I know you got that padded room. That motherfucking free agent coming soon. Street hop! Yeah.
Shouting out to everybody at Slaughterhouse.
They thought it was
another super group for 2009, 2010 onwards. Now, we were hit up this week by the Wonder Twins.
Fucking haters!
Bit of a dodgy duo. I'm only joking. And they've done a feature for us called Strange But True.
They thought
it would fit in with the show, so it's only right we play. It's only a couple of minutes long. They're going to deliver to you a very, very strange story. Very bizarre. But they've guaranteed us this will blow our listeners' minds. It's the Wonder Twins. The feature's called Strange But True. And they reassure this will make your jaw drop to the ground. Here they are, Wonder Twins, Strange But True Conspiracy. Oops, sorry, that's the intro for the other show there. Sorry about that, everybody. I've simply selected the wrong intro there. Let me try and find that. I will do it straight after this one. That was a good joke, wasn't it? Totally balls that up. Apologies, it's getting late. I'm not well.
Yeah. Yeah. Worldwide.
Gore-Tex is on his way. We're going to hear from the Wonder Twins a strange but true fact after this track.
Yeah, the soul vibe. That's right, worldwide. Yeah, the soul vibe. Come on, yeah.
Conspiracy worldwide.
The music making me high, taking me by surprise. Got my eyes on the prize and I'm trying to find my place in the sky. Every morning we awake and we rise, and we all need to find an escape from the faking and lies. So I started with the chronic as my gateway drug. Getting beat up in the hallway by the 8th grade thugs. Graduated to Illmatic by my sophomore year. Outcast had me seeing things a lot more clear. Yeah, knew the blueprint by the time I reached college. Black Star in Common taught me how to seek knowledge. We street scholars and we making a change. Put the needle to the record, never take it in vain. Weathered through the pain, passing kush blunts, blasting shook ones. Pop taught me never look back, I haven't looked once. I can't quit, I'm an addict for real. Making new school music with that classic appeal. Chill.
To elevate from any bitch this star. Slip up in the brain, razor sharp incision.
Yo, I always been a fiend for the music. I started it young, and the more I let it guide me, the farther I've come. See, each note's like weed smoke that darkens my lungs, and my heartbeat speeds up the harder the drums. The prodigal son, volume up, sparking a blunt. Best homie with me as I drive my car through the slums. It's all systematic, a double addict, can't quit my habit. You got a beat or a blunt, and I'm quick to grab it. So we can make a joint, or we can roll a joint. And if you know me by now, then you should know the point. I'm just a dreamer trying to save up all my stolen coins. Mama had five beautiful kids, I was the only boy. A born suspect, the African male. That's why I won't be too surprising if I happen to fail. Turn it up, sit back and inhale. It's Tom G, Keeley, and Zaire. Yeah, this is Zaire, come on.
Found the talent that was in.
Hold your lighter.
See, I'm addicted to getting lifted. I can't fix it. It's like a sickness. It's a little ridiculous. I'm so fly. This music's got me riding high. Yeah. See, I'm addicted to getting lifted. I can't fix it. It's like a sickness. It's a little ridiculous. I'm so fly. This music's got me riding high. Come on, Keeley. Zaire. Come on, and Tanji. Come on, it's Inverse. Come on, Soul Vibe. Yeah. Worldwide. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, in your mouth.
Take it from the brand new Keeley and Zaire. If either you two guys are locked on, much respect. As I was trying to say till I lost the track completely, here is a strange but true fact. It's just over a minute long. It's by the Wonder Twins. I've not heard it yet, as you can probably see from what I just did there, but they guarantee this will blow our listeners' minds. Let's see what they're going to say. I bet it's a weird story. This is going to blow us minds.
That's right. It's the Wonder Twins, and this is weird but true.
A 58-year-old man was going through security at Podong International Airport in Shanghai when he was questioned about a bottle of liquid that was in his pocket.
Okay.
He told security guards, "The bottle of liquid in my pocket is my own urine."
Come on. I mean, come on.
Now, my man received a kidney transplant several years ago and has to regularly test his urine for infection. When he told the security officer that it was urine, she said, "Urine? Drink some to prove it."
Yeah, you freaky, bud.
An airport spokesperson said the security guard mistakenly heard the word urine as beverage.
What?
And said, either way, we have no idea whether the man seriously took a sip. But that should tell you, security is tighter than we've ever thought.
I'm sorry, lady. I'll pass. I'll take the bus. Bye-bye.
That is weird, but true.
Thank you to the Wonder Twins.
I used to jump my horse and ride. I had a six gun at my side.
We're going to talk to Gore-Tex next. Run, tell a friend. Here comes some truths, people. Straight after this.
Niggas out there, man, talking about how y'all niggas used to ride, man. Y'all be the type of niggas that we cut in front of in the lunch line wheezing like second grade, nigga. You know what I mean? See you in the cafeteria and kick the back of your ankle and knock your lunch tray out of your hand, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That shit don't stop from the HI all the way to the Bay, all the way to where you stay, nigga.
Add us up on Twitter. Simply search for Conspiracy Radio. Montana Menace.
Homie on 9-4 block, I am that dude. Backslap the shit out, fools. I'm just that rude. Plus, I can touch that crew. Speak foul on it. Show them the turf, they will bow down on it. Motionopolis is so sick that he composed scripts with a dosage. As hypey as that open nose shit. Proper posted, so my delivery is focused. Take the word coke at your rhymes and now you hopeless. Never doubt my cred just cause I'm ahead. My folks stuck in bus lid, let it be said. My block is no joke. My set got grown folks. Fuck with us and get left with no hope. Talk shit, trust we'll be seeing your ass. We big enough to snap human beings in half. Homie, act tough and your thugs get jumped. Ask around, Usos, man, we love the funk.
Please pay attention to what I say. You better get out my way. Cause I used to, I ain't tripping off where you stay. You can still get carried away. Real men never beef for fun. So y'all swears better hold your tongue. Cause I used to, death ain't a good lesson for some.
Shout going out to Cashmere Crossbone.
Never
I used to ride with a 38 with tape on a handle. Got guns now that turn their Force Ones into sandals. Without buckles, traded all 10 knuckles in for that ammo. UFC TV, one in the chamber, changing that channel. Not a killer, but God will a nigga, I'll pop ya. I got ya. Allah bought all the funeral pilots, holla. Lay down, I'm getting your top dollars. Dying like prepaid phone time. Who you gonna call? Cop to the doctor. Kappa's on the microphone line and shouting. Gay ass cowboys get killed on Brokeback Mountain. I stop blinking, mind stop thinking. Time start shrinking, flatline. These marks hearts stop beating. Every Friday, me and the Ikeys meet with no shoes on. Shaft ally with the Uso. Flow stay cold, hit like a pit with the blue nose. Smell me.
Pay attention to what I say. You better get out my way. Cause I used to, I ain't tripping off where you stay. You can still get carried away. Real men never be for fun. So y'all squares better hold your tongue. Cause I used to, death ain't a good lesson for some. So I guess,
yeah.
Man, ain't that the truth? It don't get much truer. Up Shit's Creek, man, I mush through manure. Maneuver through the sewer, see a diamond trying to pull her. She ain't trying to holler, some bitches want the moolah. Plus, you gotta think about foes trying to do ya. And then you got friends, some of them is trying to screw ya. Be a hothead, gotta be a lot cooler. Till the internet head gets braver than the computer. Grown ass men acting like some preschoolers. I remember back when, if it's beef, they bring it to ya. Nowadays, niggas pussy, they rather shoot ya. They knuckle up with ya, no telling in the future. What's gonna happen to you winners and you losers? You beginners is confused on how a nigga would do ya. I used to ride on you from here to Montezuma, but I'm getting older now, won't shoot you like I used to.
Please pay attention to what I say. You better get out my way, cause I used to. I ain't tripping off where you stay. You can still get carried away. Real men never be for fun, so y'all squares better hold your tongue. Cause I used to, death ain't a good lesson for some. So I guess
Friday Night Live Show, Conspiracy Worldwide. Tonight we welcome our next guest of this evening. He's a person you may not have heard in an interview for a few years now. He's still out there. Gore-Tex, or should I say, Super Coven. Welcome to the Conspiracy Friday Night Live Show.
What up, what up, what up? Thanks for having me. What's good with you guys? Chilling?
Yeah, having a great show tonight. It's going really well. Now, listen, before we begin, I referred to you as two things there. I said Gore-Tex because that's how so many people will recognize you. But, of course, then I mentioned another name, Super Coven. Is that the new name?
That is the new name right now. What happened is, let's just say that I can't use that name anymore. It's a legal issue, and that's all I'm really kind of at liberty to say. So with that in mind, we keep it moving forward. And right now, it's Super Coven right now. That's really what I'm working with. That's myself. That's my label. That's the whole movement right now. That's how it's going down.
Right, right. All right, cool. Super Coven, right. I got the pronunciation wrong there. Super Coven.
I mean, yeah, it's Super Coven. I mean, the thing is, I'll always be Gore-Tex to people, the fans, and everybody who supports my music and has followed me through the struggle for, you know, 15 years or more. But it's just, it's another chapter. And it's just, I'm the same dude. I just can't, you know, put that name on, you know, records, CDs, T-shirts, and you know, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's people out there with this view that when you broke up from Nonfiction, when you left Psychological Records, that's it. You start making hip-hop. There was no avenue for you anymore. There was nothing there for you anymore.
Right. You know, I think that's a misconception that I think sometimes when people pay too much attention to the internet, and not enough on really trying to find out the real information, I think people get confused a little bit. I mean, fact of the matter is, I've been active in hip-hop, although I haven't had a solo album in a few years. I never stopped. I never quit. I'm still doing the same grind, doing the same struggle. It's just a little bit of a different picture right now. So for the last few years, I've just been doing me and handling business because, there was some... obvious concerns and issues that were going on in the past, you know, not just me, with just a bunch of different situations.
Mm.
So, you know, if your business isn't really correct, then, I mean, the product itself isn't going to be correct. But I haven't, I've still been in hip-hop, man. I haven't went anywhere.
Obviously, we'll talk about what's coming up in 2009. But what's the unwatered down official story of how and why Nonfiction broke up? What happened?
I mean, look, you guys have 5-6 hours? Not really. I mean, we could be here all night. But I mean, to keep it real with you, because I'm a real dude. And the thing is, it's like, I'm a real street dude. I'm not like some of these other dudes you might read about or you think are affiliated with me and my old crew or whatever. That's not really me. I'm a street dude. And to keep it real with you, a lot of stuff wasn't really correct. And I didn't really respect the way that the breakup went down, because I thought it was very hurtful that somebody who was in the group for 10 years of their life, basically from 1995 to 2006, I think that was a real shitty way to treat somebody that was in a group with you for 10 years. Let's say hypothetically, let's say me and you have a problem, right? And let's say me and you know each other for 10 years, right? Wouldn't you think I'd be a bigger man if I came to you and said, listen, man, let's talk about this. Let's be men about it, rather than go on the internet and start all this blasphemous nonsense. So I don't respect the way that it was really handled, because I felt at the end of the day, the only people it hurt were Nonfiction fans. And I was the last person to want the group to break up. That much I'll say. So if everybody is clear and can actually hear me out there, I'm not the dude that broke up the group. Let's keep that real. I'm not the dude that broke up the group. Nonfiction was the most important thing to me, besides my kids, you feel me? That was the most important thing in my life. And I don't respect the way it went down. So, you know, fact of the matter is, if you really want to know the truth, let's just say, see, the thing is, it's hard for me to really get into it without really, you know, calling out names, because I really don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But I think really, if anybody's trying to slander my name, I'm really basically just trying to clear my name. And I think that's fair. So,
without really getting into it,
I think it was really unjust. And I think it was real immature, because the only people they hurt are the fans. They didn't hurt me, because I've been doing this shit since 1988. You understand? So I'm not going to be hurt. I am hip hop. I'm not going nowhere.
No, absolutely. No, I don't think people would see it as calling out names. I mean, you certainly pitch yourself when you come on tonight. It's certainly not been a case of, right, let me roll my sleeves up, I'm going to dish the dirt. It's not been like that, and you are trying to explain that. Now, of course, my question was, is what happened? You said, you know, we'd need a lot of time to explain all that, which I understand. But the point is, I mean, if I could ask you that question again, I mean, what happened?
What happened? You know, okay, what happened? It's kind of, I mean, let's see. It's like, I had some, to break it down, I mean, and you know what? I don't mind getting into my personal life, because I put my personal life even on records. I mean, what you hear me spit is really my life and it's my reality, so I don't have a problem doing that. You know, I had some issues with an ex-girlfriend, somebody I was in love with at the time, one of my girls. There was some issues that kind of led to the, you know, led in me not being able to participate 100%, but the point was, that was settled at that point. That was completely settled, and that really wasn't an issue, because Nonfiction really is and was my first love of in music. So for me to really say what happened, it's kind of difficult. But you know, if someone's calling me a snake, you know, you can call me a snake, because at one point, you know, and I'll keep it real, you know what I'm saying, I was hustling, and let's just say the person that called me a snake didn't like where I was hustling at him. If I can really, it's like I'm dancing around words, but I don't really want to get into this he say, she said. I mean, a lot of it is a misconception, and a lot of it is bullshit. So if it's hard for me to really say exactly what went down. It was a series of events that led to one particular female who was an underground Wu-Tang New York City groupie, right? Some slut, some geezer bird slut, right? That put all this stuff in their ear.
Right.
About some he said, she said shit. That was 100% not true. Okay? 100% not true. So rather than these guys say, hey, Gore, what's the deal with that? Is this true? Is this, you know, what's the deal? They didn't say anything to me. The next weekend I woke up, they already broke the group up behind my back. These dudes didn't even call me and tell me anything. Nothing.
So what was it then? Suddenly you see them again and they call with you and they explain. I mean,
I'm just gonna I'm gonna break it down. I'm just gonna break it down real easy, okay? Real simple. Bill used to date a girl, whatever he did with her, all right? This was a particular girl He was with her forever. How long? He dumped her. She was bitter that he dumped her. And I hate to get into the drama shit. I mean, because really, I want to clear this up and then talk about music because I'm a musician. But I'm going to clear it up because I know people have been asking me. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't given an interview in 3 years, especially about this topic. Basically, this girl put all this stuff in that ear about stuff that I said and she specifically was trying to break up the group. Now, Bill had a problem with me because he found out I was hustling out of this girl's apartment. Okay? He didn't like that. He might have thought that I was fucking her. Okay? Let's keep it real. I wouldn't touch this broad. I would not touch this broad. She's a groupie. She's been with half of Wu-Tang. You want to keep it real? Real talk. You know what I'm saying? Real talk.
It's a big group. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. She was a whore. I was hustling out of her apartment. Bill found out I was hustling, or whatever he thought I was doing, he didn't like that. He broke up the group. Simple. You want to get to the next point? What's my problem with Necro? He owes me $30,000. You remember the Art of Dying album?
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
2004? You've heard the album, right?
Of course.
I didn't get a penny from that, brother. I didn't get one penny from that. You remember Circle of Silence?
Absolutely, yeah.
I didn't get one penny from that. You want to talk about a bad businessman? That's him. And maybe he's got everybody fooled. He ain't got me fooled. He owes me $30,000, Papa. You understand that? That's what the beef is about. So if somebody doesn't want to pay you, wouldn't they rather make up 100 lies about you instead of paying you your money?
I can see the logic of what's happening there. It does seem, though, from looking from the outside in, that you've been bullied. It looks like, and it's even to this day, and that's what you're talking about. But it's internet.
Well, yeah, because I mean, bullied is, I mean, if 100 people want to go on the internet because Necro pays them and he does favors for them and asks them, yo, fuck Cortex, do me a favor and make come up with something about him on the internet. Let's pull. Come on, man.
Oh, I think we just lost him.
I think we lost connection.
When I get a phone call from Australia, you know what I'm saying? This is the third tour that he's tried to ruin for me. He goes around to all these promoters in Europe, Norway, Sweden. Don't book Gore. Don't book Gore. If you fuck with Gore, I'll never do nothing for you again. So these promoters, in their mind, they're like, well, you know, we want to book this guy. But at the end of the day, now he's trying to take more money out of my mouth. I mean, you think that's right? I mean, let's keep it real. This is what I'm dealing with. There's no other rumors that I'd really like to contend to bring up, but I will say this. Everybody in nonfiction did drugs. Is that loud and clear for everybody to hear? Everybody in the group did drugs, except DJ Eclipse. That's another rumor, because when I do an interview in somewhere in France, they're asking me, hey, Gore, how's the heroin? Now, you know, if you know my lyrics and you know what I'm about, it's like wrestling. Not everything is to be taken literally. Everybody rhymes about drugs. But if you're going to put something in the press that's all I'm about, then that's bullshit. Everybody in the group did drugs. Everybody did acid. Everybody did ecstasy. Everybody smoked weed. But you're going to make me the bad guy? Nah, that's not really right. So, you know, we could work out all the rumors right here. And I don't have a problem with that. But I feel like, in a way, I do have to address them.
No, absolutely. No, and it's right that you do. And this is exactly the way to go about it. We're not going to fire rumors at you and say, what about this? What about that? You know. You've heard them. You've been there. You've heard them all. So
If any interview I do, they get brought up. But it's just I haven't really addressed them because I want to, you know, I'd rather concentrate on the music, not really dwell on negative energy. That's really, being fed from jealousy. I mean,
The question that I think a lot of people will be thinking at this moment is, why didn't you get the money? Why didn't you ask for the check?
Why didn't I ask for the check? You know, let me tell you something. I got two kids, man. Do you think I didn't ask for the check or checks? Of course I did. But you know something? His hustle is ripping off his friends. And I don't respect that hustle. I know that kid since he's 11 years old. Do you understand that? I know him since before he could shoot cum out of his dick. Since he's a baby. Okay? Since he would play his guitar on the toilet. He'd play his acoustic guitar playing Metallica songs. You got it? So nobody put me on the hip-hop. Nobody created me. Nobody wrote my lyrics. I am hip-hop. I'm from the hood. I'm from Glenwood Projects. I go back there. I got homies there. I hustle there. That'll never be taken away from me. I asked him to pay me 350 times, and he had an excuse every time he wouldn't pay me. And if he'd pay me once or twice, it was the most minimal amount of money you can take from your ATM. And if he's listening to this, he fucking knows I'm right, because he's probably laughing about it right now. So, you know, besides handling it legally, this is what it is. But the thing is, I'm over it. I'm not sitting here crying about $30,000. I moved on. You know what I'm saying? I'll get money in the street. Don't even get it twisted. But for him to, you know, to try to make it out like he's a good guy, nah, because he ain't paying nobody. He ain't paying nobody. And anybody he rocks with now, they're happy to be on, and they're happy to have an album out. And they're happy to do their little tours in Europe and get their little groupie on, get their little fucking hand jobs and blow jobs. I've been there and done that, brother. That don't wet my whistle. I'm on some real shit. That doesn't wet my whistle. I'm a musician. So, look, man, it is what it is. If he has people fooled, it's too bad. You want to know why it's stupid to me? And it's like, I hate to ramble on.
No, but if
he would have just did the right thing, I still would have been on his label. I would have been on my third album on his label, and everything would have been gravy. But he had to be a greedy fuck.
No, it sounds that way, doesn't it? I mean, for what you're saying.
He had to be a greedy fuck and not pay me my money, because me and him go back for years, since even before music, before anything. And there was a mutual love. But somewhere along the way, I don't know if it's jealousy or whatever the fuck it is or whatever's wrong with that kid's head, because he ain't normal either. That's number one. And I'm not shitting on him, because you know what? He's still one of my favorite producers, and I'll tell him to his face, I still think he's a talented dude, but he's a fucking piece of shit when it comes to business. And he knows that's the way I feel about him. So I'm not hiding. I ain't talking shit behind his back. He knows what's up. Motherfucker knows I got kids, and you're not going to pay me what you pay me? Come on, man. That's not right, yo. That's not right.
What about this? I mean, because a lot of people have got this image that Necro... Well, I've just used the word image. He is an image. And he's got this image he has to maintain on the internet. And no matter what he does off record and how he is in person, that's all right. An image. And really, he's a very logical, calculated businessman. Now, of course, you've just explained there, yeah, he's very calculated. And yeah, he is a businessman. But that's how he rolls. He's not a fair businessman. This is what he does to his friends, people who've known him since he was 11. But the question that I'm coming to with this then, is it all a facade? Is this big bad image all a facade? Or is there more truth to Necro's image than he makes out?
I mean, is he a cannibal? Is he raping women? No.
Obviously,
I mean,
not.
You know, is he a street dude? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? On that level, he's a real dude. But I'm saying he's not a fucking murderer cannibal.
No.
I mean, he's like a regular dude. You know, he's a talented producer, whatever, lyricist. He's been doing it for years. He put in hard work. I'm not going to say he didn't grind. He put in hard work. And, you know, what I do respect about him is that there was a large point of time where everybody was against him at one point when he was first coming out, and nobody believed in him. And he kept the faith to do it on his own and start his own business. And he worked very hard at that, and I respect his work ethic, because he got from A to B, and he's self-sufficient. But the thing is, the trail of deceit that he left behind is something he's got to live with for the rest of his life. So is he a real dude? I guess he's a real dude. Sure, he's a real dude. I mean, you know, is he hacking people up, shooting and stabbing people? Maybe he is. I don't really see the dude. I'm trying to get my money from him. You know what I mean? That's really all it's about. And other than that, I really didn't have any issues besides, you know, he wants to ramble on the internet about me because he's threatened that, like, he didn't, you know, he tried to ruin me. He tries to block shows. He tries to do a lot of immature shit. I don't even want, you know, it's like, come on, man. Do you, because you're not going to stop me. I've been rhyming and doing this way before he has. Way before he has. You understand? Way before him.
Yes.
So it ain't like he put me on and I was one of his little artists, like, ooh, you know, go and do an album with me. So nah, I didn't need any of that. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this shit before him. And I'll be doing it long after him. But, you know, my problem is, how are you gonna rip off people you grew up with? How are you gonna rip off people that have kids, that know your mom, that know your family? His brother was my best friend growing up. You know what I'm saying? Best friend. And to this day, Bill Mullins, I'll still kill for him. he still knows I'll kill for him. Regardless of whatever, he knows I love him. Bill knows I love him.
Yeah. Listen, man, I'm going to pass over to my co-host now. Like you said a bit earlier, I mean, with all this we've been talking about, let's focus on you. Let's talk more about you, the music. Let's talk about 2009 a bit. And focus on you, Gore-Tex. You coming on the show now, Super Coven. And let's just focus on that. Menace, I'll hand over to yourself.
Peace. How you doing, bro?
Peace. Chilling, yo. What's good?
How you doing? Just chilling, man. I mean...
Good, man.
Moving from the negative to, of course, the positive, focus on you as an artist. I've always been curious as to if or not you choosing to express yourself through hip-hop rather than heavy metal was a conscious decision. I mean, what came first for Gore-Tex, rhyming or your band Warlock?
I mean, probably hip-hop, because a big influence as far as my hip-hop style came from my cousin, who was like a local DJ, and, you know, he was into breakdancing, and he rhymed, and he kind of taught me to rap at, like, an early age, and he would just have me rap over, like, you know, Soul Sonic Force, or, like, you know, Jimmy Spicer, you know, Grandmaster Caz kind of stuff, and, you know, even though at that time I wasn't to rock and, you know, pop, or, you know, even shit like Duran Duran, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, I thought that hip-hop and hard music like Black Sabbath were very, very similar to me, and maybe in a warped way, but I really kind of understood it as they both came from dark places, and they both came from ghettos. So I always considered something like Black Sabbath is ghetto music, rather than just you know, heavy metal like Guns N' Roses or Judas Priest. It was a little different. As far as metal, I've always been in the metal, and I've always kept it real. I had bands growing up, like you mentioned, Warlock and a few other whacked out bands, like as a kid, just by playing guitar and stuff, but hip-hop to me seemed a little bit, it seemed a little more direct. I could get my message across, like, really direct, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, what about had hip-hop not been your true calling today? I mean, what would you have been doing, you know, in terms of expression and direction today? I mean, how do you feel you would be as an artist today had you not chose to rap?
That's a really hard question. That's a good question, I'll be honest with you. But I haven't really thought too much about it, because it's when I start thinking of that, I feel like I'm losing my main focus. You know, it's like, I have other interests. You know, I play different instruments. Maybe I'd be in a band. Maybe I'd be a music producer. Maybe, you know, it could be various different things. But MCing has really just been the true calling. That's the most direct thing to me. I mean, right, I got, it's like I could easily have, 10 years ago, I'll be honest with you, not, you know, I could have started a band, and I probably could have been bigger in a band than as I am now as a hip-hop artist. That's just keeping it real. But the thing is, I maintain integrity in the hip-hop music I create, which is not a lot I could say for people if you look around right now. The integrity of my music has never left. It's 100%.
Absolutely. We talked about, obviously, you knowing Necro since he was 11 years old, and of course your cousin being a big inspiration on your life. But I mean, given, you know, the multicultural music background you came up in with your father, you know, obviously being Mexican and whatnot, who would you say has been the biggest influence on you both musically and culturally today as an artist and a man?
I mean, my cousin is definitely an influence just on a family personal tip. As far as a musical influence, it would have to be Rakim.
Okay.
And it would have to be Rakim, because he inspired me to be able to force myself to take my concepts to the next level. And at one point around 1988, I had met him in a mall, in a shopping mall called Kings Plaza in Brooklyn. And he was shopping with Eric B, and I was a young dude. I had my notebook. I was writing rhymes. I was just a little dude. But I ran up on him, and we started a conversation, and I asked him for advice, and I told him my whole situation. And he had told me that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people breaking you down that are not going to really let you flourish and do what you want, but you've got to have faith. And if you really believe in yourself, that you can really do anything. And from that day I met him in the mall, my life changed.
You know, it's really interesting you should mention Rackham. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons from what I can see, from what I can hear, should I say, as a listener. I mean, the same way Rackham really incorporates a saxophone into his rhyming technique, I mean, I'm sure there would be a lot of people out there who would argue your style is similar in a sense that you use your style like a guitar riff and not a saxophone. Right. I mean, how do you feel your style is being executed since your debut, The Art of Dying?
Right. That's a good point. I mean, I really tend to view, like, my flows and cadences and patterns as just kind of like guitar riffs. I mean, it's more, I try to keep it musical, where you're not just hearing a flow and you're like, oh, that shit is boring. Or, you know, you've heard it before. I think every verse, I'm just trying to change stuff up, to be honest with you. Excuse me. I don't want to be redundant. And if it sounds more musical, then that's really what I'm achieving. I'm really trying to be musical with this sort of, I'm not going to say limitation, but as a rapper, all you have is your voice and your heart. That's really what you're working with. So I keep it musical and try to combine the elements of both so it doesn't just sound like, you know, your average cat. I mean, that's,
no.
You know.
And that's something that's always, you know, come across in your rhymes, in your verses. And I mean, I've always been curious as to if you had any other groups before Nonfiction. I understand you were working a lot with Ill Bill before Nonfiction, and you
right,
were the
right.
last member to join Nonfiction.
Right.
So I mean, what was going on before Nonfiction? You know, rapping.
Before Nonfiction, I was a solo artist. And I was doing stuff with just a bunch of kids from the projects, just dudes that kind of weren't as serious as I was, and they didn't really have the vision of the big picture of what I was really trying to do. So obviously, you know, those relationships didn't last. Mostly I was a solo artist, you know, kind of in the same vibe that I am in now. I was very influenced in the early 90s by stuff like Ghetto Boys and Leaders of the New School and obviously Rakim, X-Clan, Public Enemy, Run DMC, all that stuff. And I think it just varied to the next level where, you know, me and Bill started a group, The Dead Celebrities. That was me, Bill, and B-Wiz, rest in peace, who was from Jersey. Department of Forensics, which came after that, which was around 94. That was the last group I was in prior to Nonfiction, which was me, Ill Bill, and Mac 10.
I mean, what were the differences between, you know, Dead Celebrities with you and Bill between Nonfiction? I mean, what did you really represent musically? Was there a difference in your styles? Much of a difference compared to Non?
I think each of us had a different style and a different focus of what we were trying to say. And we kind of used our styles in different ways to portray different messages. And I think when it came together, I think it was really, really powerful in the sense that everything you kind of wanted to hear a group say but didn't say, you kind of heard us say. And, you know, Bill has his style, and over the years he's had many different styles. I've had different styles over the years. We all have different styles. I think my style would probably, maybe I'd say I'm the most out there. I'd probably say the craziest shit that probably a lot of people wouldn't say. But at the same time, I think I'd develop a relationship with my audience that, even if I say a few obscure things, if you follow me, you kind of take it in and understand what I mean. So if it's obscure, it's better for it in the end. You know what I mean? I don't know if that made any sense, but that's
no, absolutely. There's you always leave a scenario in your verses for the listener.
That's what I mean. It becomes a personal relationship with the listener. It's a one-on-one.
Right.
Whereas if it's a concert situation, I can speak to 15,000 people. But if you're in your car and you're smoking a blunt, it's just me and you. You know what I'm saying? And it's all in the mental. So I think that's the magic that I've been trying to create. And I think fans or people who have followed my music, that's what we have in common, is that we're both on the same wavelength when you put on my music.
I mean, bringing it back to Nonfiction, I mean, how were you approached to join Nonfiction, being that you were the last member to join? How did that come about?
Well, I mean, Bill and Sabak and MC Search had already started the group. I was in the position of I was a solo artist, and obviously, you know, me and Bill know each other as good friends since 1986. So he had already been in the group with Search. I really didn't necessarily want to join a group, but what was going on at the time, I thought really was really revolutionary, especially for that year and like the scene and everything that was going down. It sounded really powerful to me. So at that point, you know, my mind kind of changed and I really kind of wanted to be a part of it because I really thought what I could add would be like the last, it would be the last piece in the puzzle of brutality. And you know, I didn't think there was any groups that really sounded like us at the time and what we were really trying to say. And I really, at that point, I really changed my mind and really wanted to be a part of it.
At which point did Serge come into the picture then with regards to, you know, putting a group together?
We knew Serge around from just the hood. And, you know, we knew Serge from obviously Third Base and his solo stuff from back in the day. And it was really Sabak and Serge that were kind of doing something at first. And then I believe Bill was working to their picture, and then slowly it just became like an add-on process. But I can't really think of any particular, you know, situations. Like, Search was around, you know, like, let's start a group. You know, maybe he was thinking it would be, like, a white or, you know, Latino Wu-Tang Clan or whatever he thought at first. You know, I didn't really care to really embellish on that. I didn't want to be in a white group. I wanted to be in a hip-hop group that was official, and all the rhymes and all the beats were dope, and we had a message. I wasn't really interested in being in a white group or, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Right, right. I mean, what about the politics? I mean, it's being said that, you know, the reason a nonfiction with the deal with Geffen fell through was because of miscommunications with Search. I mean, can you elaborate on what exactly happened?
You know, it's like, we were signed to Geffen Records. We were a little younger. I think we were excited at that point because the industry wasn't completely dead, where now everybody's just not buying CDs, raping every artist and just downloading stuff. There was a time where an artist could be an artist and flourish. Search got us the Geffen deal. I'll be honest with you, if everything would have went accordingly right, it was a very good deal. There were some issues that were questionable. And the group felt that we could really no longer have 100% trust within the situation. And it's a little, I don't want to go too into it. Search meant well. There was some fuck-ups. And ultimately, the person at Geffen Records who signed us, she was lost. She was an A&R lady who is very typical of an A&R, who you may have heard GZA rhyme about. I mean, he rhymes about A&R people. Mm-hmm. She was one of them. She was like some Leonard Skinner, Johnny Winter blues fucking A&R that really didn't know shit about hip-hop. She signed us, and then 6 months later, she was looking for records that sounded like Puff Daddy and Mace. And here we are talking about decapitating the president, revolutionary, and the Kabbalah, and she's asking for club songs.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, right then and there, we knew we had a big problem. Mm. And from there, let's just say it was a downward spiral into the point where we could no longer work with them.
Mm, absolutely. Listen, man, that's the past. Let's talk about 2009 sure. then. Super sure. Coven. What can we expect and where can we expect it this year?
Super Coven right now is in the stage where I think it's. I mean, if you're a fan of, you know, nonfiction, if you're a fan of my older stuff, if you're a fan of everything like that in that genre, I think, you know, you'll like it as well. The beats are correct. The concepts are correct. No bullshit lyrics. No fakery. 100% integrity, 100% real music. Right now I'm working on the album and a mixtape, and I'm hoping by November the album is out, as well as the mixtape in December. And from here on, it's just going to be just a lot of product coming out, because obviously, you know, some people might think I've been stagnant for 2 or 3 years. Hmm. When in reality, I've been in the studio, and I've been on the grind, and I'm doing my thing. So Super Coven is a new era. It kind of takes off politically and conceptually where even nonfiction left off. Mm. So it's 100%, man. It's 100%. It's going down right now. So it's on.
Excellent, man. Now, of course, you've toured the world about 4 times over. You must have some pretty crazy tour stories. What's the wildest experience you have in memory of being out on the road?
I mean, I'm trying to scan the chip right now because there's so many. I mean, there's times where, like, I mean, you know, I mean, it's been spoken about before, but, you know, me getting locked in the bathroom in, like, Milan, Italy, and, like, you know, I'm in the bathroom maybe 15 minutes, the lights go out, I come out of the restaurant. Everybody's in the restaurant. Bill, Sabak, the whole group are eating. I come out of the restaurant. There's nobody in the restaurant. It's pitch black. Mm. I get lost in the restaurant for a half hour. They close the restaurant down when I'm in the bathroom. So I think that was pretty crazy. Hell, man, it's really hard. It's really hard right now to really think, yo. But, I mean, there's so many crazy things that went down that I think I'd have to write a book, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Just back to that story, because I'm intrigued. So you're in the bathroom. How long were you in the bathroom for?
I mean, I was in the bathroom probably like maybe 15 minutes. I mean, I wasn't in there like an hour. I was in there 15 minutes, whatever. I'm handling my business, whatever. Mm. I come out, and while I'm in the bathroom, the light goes off.
Right.
So I'm like, yo, I'm like, what the hell is that about? So I was like, all right. I opened the door, thinking that I'm going to see somebody in the restaurant. Everybody in the restaurant was gone. The restaurant closed, and it was bizarre, because how would a restaurant close that quickly in 15 minutes?
Yeah, it is.
We were in the middle of dinner. It didn't make any sense to me. I thought it was bizarre. I get lost in the restaurant. It's pitch black, so here I am walking around the restaurant looking for a light, trying to get out. So I walk down the hall, and there's a little light in a room. And I walk up to the room, and in the corner, there's a little short Italian man with a beard, okay? Mm. And in the corner, there's a light. And over the light, he's cutting mozzarella cheese, okay, with the cheese grater, all right? No. So I'm like, yo, homie, could you please get me out of here? And he looked at me and just started talking Italian to me. I was like, listen, man, I'm kind of lost. The restaurant closed. Could you please get me out of here? And the dude just kept looking at me, grating the cheese. Like, it was nothing. Like, it scared the shit out of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can imagine, man. This sounds like the next Saw film. This sounds a nightmare. Yeah.
It was gruesome, brother. It was gruesome. I was like, yeah, man, get me out of here. So it took me a half hour to convince him to get me out of there. And then he led me outside, which was around the block. So by the time I could even get up with everybody, I got lost. It was a nightmare. That was a nightmare. I got another quick story, being that we're talking about Italy, okay? Mm. Everybody was going to a restaurant, some gourmet restaurant. I get ready to pull out my wallet to pay for the food. My wallet's gone. So I'm like, okay, maybe I lost the wallet. 10 minutes later, I realize I got pickpocketed. Mm. I go to the police station. The police guy in Italy, in Milan, laughs at me and goes, oh, you were pickpocketed, bro. I said, I was pickpocketed. I'm like, so what, you can't help me? I had like $1,500, man, my ID, everything I had was in the wallet. He goes, you were pickpocketed by 13-year-old girls. I'm like, 13-year-old girls? That doesn't make sense. He's like, yeah, there's a girl gang that are going around pickpocketing people. And, you know, you got pickpocketed by some teenage girls. I was like, oh, thanks a lot, you know? And the police were totally assholes to me. I didn't get the money back.
No.
So, I mean, let me tell you something. There's 100 things like that I could go on about. It's just crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying?
At least they told you who did it. I mean, that's probably what they think the police's job out there. We'll tell you who the criminals are. They just told you exactly who'd pickpocket you and left it at that.
Exactly. They told me, you know what? You're not getting your money back, and screw you. That's what he told me. So I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Welcome to Europe. I mean, one of your best cuts we like at the station is, of course, the track Celebrity Roast. Now, if you were to remake that, make a sequel to that track today, what celebrities would be roasted and how?
Who would be roasted? That's a good question. I mean, probably everybody. I mean, obviously, you know, I wouldn't really roast Britney because, I mean, she's kind of getting her life together, which is kind of cool. So I probably wouldn't roast Britney. But it's tough, though. It's tough. I mean, I wouldn't really roast Travolta because, obviously, of his recent tragic loss of his son. So I'm not really going to roast Travolta. But it's funny you mention that because I got something right now that I'm working on. I don't even want to give it away.
Right. Okay.
Let's just keep it like that. You'll hear it very soon, and I think your question will be answered.
Mm. All right, cool. Excellent. Listen, man, it's been an absolute pleasure. Sorry we had to, it's not that I'm apologising, because I think it had to be said. You said what had to be said, and many issues were cleared up. And everybody who hears this, from now until ever, when it's podcasted as well after the live show, they'll have a lot of their questions answered. And how they'll react to it, I don't know, but I can predict. There'll be many more forum posts, because that seems to be how the world works now. The revolution
for sure.
The revolution will be through forums.
My problem is that I really believe, and this is just coming from me, that the internet ruined about 99% of relations and of what's perceived in the world as reality. Everybody's guilty of it at one point or another, but if you're just going to listen to what you read on the computer, you're already lost. You lost the revolution, you lost the battle, you lost everything.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's other means of information besides the internet. The internet is a tool, but it's a cancer.
Mm.
That's just my opinion. You know, I don't want to go on about the internet because everybody knows I hate the internet.
Mm.
You know, nobody even buys albums anymore. So I got a lot of qualms with the internet. Mm. You know, if the internet says the sky is red, people think the sky is red automatically, and there's no chance to prove them wrong because the internet said it. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, my opinion with it all is that I think the internet gives a voice, a public voice, and a platform to people who can't handle that and don't deserve that platform. And I think that's what's happening. That's what's happening a lot. So
everyone's a critic. Everyone's a critic. And everybody, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody wants your shit to succeed.
No.
Everybody's looking for a reason to see you fail.
Mm.
Even if it's, sometimes it's your own fans want to see you fail. It's very demented. People don't want to see you happy. They'd rather go on your post and talk all this shit. And everything that is available, there's always something down you can scroll under that says add comment, add comment, add comment.
Hmm.
Everything on the internet is add comment. Put your two cents in. Shit on the artist.
Hmm.
Everybody has an opinion. I'm not a specialist in anything. I have my own opinion. Not everybody's going to agree with my view. But you got to see reality. That's really what I'm saying.
Hmm.
I purposely didn't go on the internet and put a 20-page rant about Necro because what would that make me? I'm going to let somebody drain me. Nobody's going to drain my energy. It ain't happening.
No.
And I don't let the internet drain my energy. If you want to keep it real? Come to my page. Come to my MySpace page. Hit me up. I'll answer your questions.
Hmm.
I answer everybody's questions. I talk to people. I'm a real person. I'm not on some fake rock star ego shit.
No, absolutely, man. That's come through very clearly tonight on the interview. Absolutely crystal clear that.
What you see is what you get. You come to a show, you're going to meet me, shake my hand. I'm a real dude. You bought my album, I love you for it. You buy a shirt, I love you for it. What you see is what you get. I'm a real guy.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to finish on this question then. What's the biggest misconception people have about Gore-Tex, and what would you like to tell the haters, the people out there, and perhaps Necro, if he's listening right now?
Well, I mean, put it this way. I kind of said what I had to say. As far as misconceptions, you know what? You could think whatever you want about me. If you want to believe I broke up the group, you could believe that if you want. If you want to believe that somebody wrote my rhymes, you could believe that if you want. You want to believe that I do heroin and I'm a fucking junkie, you could believe that if you want to. I don't give a fuck. But if you're asking me if it's true, I'll tell you what's true and what's not. And I kind of verified, really, you know, I kept it real because I got nothing to hide. I'm a street dude. I'm not one of these dudes that got a publicist and you see me in a club paying for security and paying so-and-so for this and that. That's not me. If we roll, we roll. As far as haters, there's always going to be haters. Haters hate everybody. Haters are everywhere. I really don't give a fuck. If you're a hater, come to the show. If you want to believe what you believe, come to the show. If you have a bigger problem, say it to my face and we'll handle it that way. Mm. Other than that, whoever's got love for me, I love you till the end. Those who got a problem with me, you'll get handled, homie. Trust me on that. You will get handled.
Listen, thank you so much, Super Carvin. People will know him as Gore-Tex, but it's all about Super Carvin 2009.
Oh, for sure. I'll be in the UK soon. And you know what? Necro ain't going to stop me from getting to the UK, baby. You understand that? If you hear me, I'm going to be there. That's it. You ain't stopping my tour. You ain't shutting me down. You ain't taking no more food out of my mouth, out of my kids' mouth, out of my homies' mouth. It's a new era, Papa. Listen and learn. Love it. Super Coven, 2009. You want it? Bring it.
Look, Fuckstick, I'm incredibly busy, so why don't you get the hell out of here before I snap your dick off and jam it into your ass.
In the building. building. Bundles in the frost of the winter. Hunger pants, I hug the block, I make the Glock simmer. I got the block on Bruce Jenner, the goon sweater, masking gloves, bullet belt leather beside him, Sherwin Dentals. Ain't nothing new about the world or the death serum. We pushing heroin pills with federal Berettas. Superpowers turn sighted to psilocybin. We get wacky, ice pentagram, you still a hair cabbie. Sanitation green like Pappy Mason, I slay shit. The streets all gone, we on some Rick James shit. Explain shit, I don't have to shit, I'm on vacation. Explain shit, I don't have to spit the incantations. Look it up, dummy, I got a dummy down to get money. Laboratory status, Benetton sacks and fly gumbies. Catch your page six, cortex, first your face stitch. Little mommy's hollering, lick on my balls like camp mix.
Never send a boy to do a man's job, rookies amiss. And you ain't fucking with us, bitch, rookies to this. Got suicide girls that gon' finger they pussies to this. Got some generals that leave your face mushy to this. Look at you now, just all over yourself. Being big headed, got your wig shredded, hot leaded. Lord knows I ain't the same since he took my daughter. I blow big perp, crack skulls and walk on water. What a order, do is hit him with this fully order. To make you fuckers fully comprehend the fire starter. The whole shit, I'll be a parter. I part you before I dilly depart you. Then I'm out in a black charger, doing it larger. Fuck a chicken, you cheek on the barger. Fuck a fair one, shoot it out to even the margin. No time to relax with the pigs on your ass. Get in my way, end up looking like the kid off the mask. Fifth in my lap, won't fit on the dash. Give a fuck if I crash. Put them big wheels and kid on smash. Smash, then get fresh, hit the block and thrash. Mash, swim with sharks in circles till I'm dizzy. Sudden movements of flashy jewelry lead to a feeding frenzy. You got a Glock 4, but forgot what your Glock 4. I can smell a drop of blood 100 miles offshore.
Fuck face. First, take a big step back and literally
fuck your own face!
Now, I don't know what kind of pan-Pacific bullshit power play you're trying to pull here, but Asia Jack is my territory. So whatever you're thinking, you better think again. Otherwise, I'm going to have to head down there, and I will rain down on a godly fucking firestorm upon you. You're going to have to call the fucking United Nations to get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying you. I am talking scorched earth, motherfucker! I will massacre you! I will fuck you up!
Yo, it's influential. Coolie high.
That wasn't me at the end of the track, by the way.
Hello, what up, boy?
I flow, rhyme, rush, drip, drip, pour, gush. I flow. It's Tab O in the building. Said I know that you feel it. We about to let the world know.
Thank you to Gore-Tex for the past 40 minutes or so. I hope he answered some of your questions.
Come on, let's get it. I'm reading Ralph Waldo Emerson, Self-Reliance. Thinking about applying the science, feeling like a giant. Slip back in the scene, get it cracking with ease. Stay packing a breeze, I'm B-Town with Steve. Okie dokie, don't provoke me. Keep my shit swinging like Oakley's on Crokey's. Hopefully my own keys will open my own peace. A-T-H, fate you can't escape. Keep faith, equate, walk and try to see straight. Yeah, I got the vision of a champion. Keep it moving as I'm peeling past mannequins. With force like Anakin, we live Mike handling. Jump back on the track like Jack in a flash. A rolling stone, how I'm blowing the grass. My Mentos, raise your glass to the fresh maker. Been dope anytime I pen press paper. Lend quotes like journalists to press papers. A chess player, how I check a mate's flavor. Rapping's what it is, a magnificent whiz. Pad pen in the scripts is back flipping your wig. Cat black is a crib, rapping what we live. I'm back at it again, so let me tell them. I celebrate beat breaks with my cerebellum. Some featherweight sheep can't see me like Helen. No disrespect, yeah. Mecca is included, and flow. Coolie high, we having fun with it. Check it out, yeah. Yo, North Carolina home, yo, we owning this. Buff lacing with Simone and Thelonious. My words race in a space like Soviets. Stay hot, no matter how cold it gets. Should be knowing this, glow when we holding it. Flames for you lames who claim you be controlling this. Face switch when I told them this. News for your crews, my dude, y'all ain't controlling shit. Mecca is the clitic. The sound found made them turn around, pivot. Back to the stage, amazed they all listen. When the track ends, begin applaud rhythm. Hands clap, I Amtrak the fans that. Rip riding rails of rhymes, I ran back. Back to the lab to grab the pen and pad. Saying peace to foolery, send cash and pan fast. Watch how I channel the English, they can't last. Folly we ran that, the golly your man's crack. Ladies in a tizzy, they giddy because I rap. I tell them to fall back, you don't know me like that. I'm a genuine gentleman, general with synonyms. Blending in pen and sentences for the simple sense. So watch me bebop that away. Flowing like Alizé, call me Tab Calloway. I skit scat, the gift rap is click clack. Rhyme ammunition is peeling your whole shit back. Metaphorically, cadence is categorical. Fall under ill for real, there's no ignoring me. On my team, we gleam like high beams. Stand tall like Yao Ming, got soul like Al Green. Brothers wanna bottle the flow like Nalgene. Just can't do it, my fluid is too free. So you gon' need a mountain of many to move me. Rhyme with the mean lean like Henny and Ooh-wee.
Now we are about to
coming soon.
Thank you very much, thank you very much. It's enough from you. Now we are about to bounce out very shortly. Of course, it's been an epic show. If you've been with us since the start, then thank you very much. If not, then we've had on in order Kasha, Warren G, Heatmakers, Crash Crew, DOC, and Gore-Tex. But we don't feel the show is complete. We feel we need somebody else. So, should we do it?
Let's do it, yeah. Let's do it and see where the road takes us. Okay. Again, I don't think they're ready.
This is Jeff Trickle.
Hello, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Oh, hi. We spoke I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. We were talking, we had the guy from Paramount Pictures with us as well, if you recall.
Yes, 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 definitely.
Well, you're live right now on the Friday Night Live show. Welcome.
Well, on the Friday Night Live show?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Now, of course...
How can I help you?
Well, we wanted to discuss tonight, really, and just have a bit of a catch-up. There's been people out there who we've told about yourself, they wanted to hear the man himself in action.
Okay, real quick, if I could tell my girlfriend who I'm talking to, my wife, to be, we haven't thrown the party yet, Paramount Pictures. Okay, yeah, certainly.
So, last time we spoke then, it was all about, we were talking about stand-up comedy and all this kind of steez, we're breaking it down, you were saying that people cannot stand honesty, that's the problem with the world, people don't like honest answers.
Well, when the truth fits, it hurts. When it was something you've been selling fear against, is your scapegoat of salvation, very much so. I could take that to a song, Losing My Senses by Megadeth on The World Needs a Hero. My mentor taught me that right then.
There's something about the truth. It always hurts. It always hurts people. And have you ever had the sharp end of people's tongues because with your stand up you hit on a lot of nerves?
Oh, definitely. I mean stand up comedy is the ideal forum to express the truth you feel that others will not accept. And if you could get in and out of the joke and argue the strengths and weaknesses of both sides of the argument and close all arguments, you could sow the joke. For instance, the word bitch, I'm a proud bitch. I bitch about things all the time. And if you ask me, Rick James taught Charlie Murphy by calling him a bitch and punching him to treat me like a normal friend, and in 05 solidified the term gender neutral.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, I can understand that. What's the one area, then, that really stokes up people's backs, really gets their hackles, I should say, back when you're standing up there? What's some of the topics that really enrage people?
Religion, or when people blame something in the world is the one thing wrong with the world. What usually touches people off is, I get lumped into a category of a drug addict. Whether or not, I mean, I enjoy smoking. If when I look at marijuana, I look at it as the natural stress reliever because it stands the test of time. It's available for everybody of all time. Even the Iliad is known for going down with a bunch of hash. Since I defend my right of wanting to enjoy that product and I get lumped into the category of all drugs, I end up defending all drugs, so like people stop telling me I'm a drug addict when I know I'm sober and can't afford marijuana and I'm arguing my right to, and then I get accused of being a drug addict for all other kinds of drugs. And I already believe people that, like, they don't have the fire of rebellion when they're a crack addict, and people are saying, look, it's one simple difference. Don't do drugs, you loser, versus, which inspires rebellion, versus here you're drugs, you loser, did inspire self-reflection, and then you're only going to be cracked out on the floor for so long before you get up and do something with your life. Yeah. On the other side of the coin, if people were telling you you'd have low self-esteem for something that you're doing that helps you, that doesn't help them, you wouldn't look for that escape out of the universe for that peace and serenity and silence that you get from both crack and heroin to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, that's how I see it. I mean, so when somebody tells me that the street drug addict is the problem of the world, they want to escape the exact problem. I'm not afraid of a heroin addict with heroin. They're drooling on the floor. They're not a threat to me and my child. The heroin addict that can't get it and it's very expensive and finds a weapon and goes to people with money, now that's a threat.
Yeah. Sorry, I got my calls. Menace, what are you reading there? What have you got there?
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff? I'm just filtering. I'm filtering a couple of messages here. Now we've got a bunch of emails in the studio. Let me just read these. Can you ask Jeff to sing a song? When you mentioned him singing, it sounded entertaining. Yeah, basically, people are asking us to ask you if you could give us a song like last time.
Give you a song like last time?
Yeah.
I'll go to one of my favorite tracks. MTV uses the bass line to begin it. It's Peace Sells But Who's Buying by Megadeth, released before I even was a fan of theirs. What do you mean I don't believe in God? I talk to him every day. What do you mean I don't support your system? I go to court when I have to. I'm off track. I was on the way to a movie store enjoying a Friday night with my girl, which is a rarity. Basically, I like to be able to sell the joke and remove myself from the equation, because I know, like any other person that looks at a comedian, that I could have said that to "You're not that special," and they don't realize how dangerous it is to walk back to your car if somebody doesn't like your joke because you're defending something they love to attack.
What about this? I'm sorry to cut you short, Jeff. Are we song? Can we get a song from you? We're still getting emails in right now in the studio. It's a lot of as I said, I'm filtering through these messages now, and they just want a song. They want you to sing a song. Just cut to the chase.
You want me to sing a song?
Take in a church, Jeff.
I'll do something. I've sung karaoke on the same stage at Doc's End that I didn't need a mic to try to use one throughout my voice. It's called Only by Anthrax. So I'll give a little bit of it, because right now my girl's sitting down. I'm on the streets of Main Street, Santa Ana, and I don't even really like talking, to be honest, because it makes it sound like I think I'm all about me and I just talk from the first person because it's the only thing I own. But
it's all about you sitting right now.
What's that?
So I just was saying, it's all about your sinning right now. We won't let you to sin.
But that's the danger. It's jumping on the other side of the glass. I mean, right now, I'm stressed out because I haven't been able to buy a damn thing in over a year from the money I've earned. What I need is payroll, and I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to run a dish room by myself quietly. I just need to help my girlfriend help pay the bills. But I'll give you a little bit of Anthrax Only. I'll give you the final part of it. And it's... crucified, terrified, sacrificed, my whole life, if only, I just can't contain myself. Duh, duh, duh. Sound of White Noise, track 2, Anthrax, John Bush singing.
Wow. Well, a lot of response coming in the studio right now. Somebody saying, oh, fuck yes. Somebody said, taking a church, Jeff. Jessica said, great voice of an angel. Yeah, a lot of positive feedback coming through, Jeff. A lot of positive feedback.
Cool.
Yeah, what about another song? What about the Hulkmaster UI? Yes, what about another song?
Okay, I'll give you a song that bugs me, and it's because Neil Finn listened to my sister cry because people weren't happy. He mentions my parents getting divorced. My parents got divorced because of the same reason I disassociate with my entire family right now. They want me to hit ethanol. I'm not willing to. My mom nagged my father away because he liked ethanol and she didn't like him being honest and fast. The song's called Mean to Me by Crowded House. Everybody knows the song Don't Dream It's Over. That song's also written about my parents by New Zealand's Crowded House. And when Neil Fan goes, this song, I know he's singing about my sister and my parents getting divorced, and he goes, she came all the way from America. She had a blind date with destiny, and the sounds of Chiao too had a truly sacred ring, and her parents are divorced. And it's that tone that makes me want to fucking slap him in the face, because his ass didn't have to listen to them two fight and fucking watch my dad roll to the fucking bar every day. that's exactly how I feel about that song. It hurts me, because it's like, you know, I'm happy they're divorced. I didn't get to hear him fight and feel the negative tension.
Yeah, exactly. All right, yeah. we're about to wrap this up, because time's ticking.
Cool.
But before you bounce, how about one song that everybody knows, an internationally known song?
Well, if somebody doesn't know it, this sounds the same as The Way I Am by Eminem.
Do that.
Song I love. The point is, it sounds just like Mean to Me. The song's called Angry Again by Megadeth. It was on the last Action Hero soundtrack. David State didn't tell me what song or if he had done it, but I heard he always does what he says. And I think he wrote the song about me. I saw him first perform it live at Bill King's with great luck back in 93. And let me put it in my head, get it rolling, and I'll sing it. The more you that I inspect, the more me I see reflect. The more I try to read your lips, the more the mask you wear rips. But when I seek out your voice, my ears are overcome with noise. You show and tell with greatest ease, raving impossibilities. That's basically how that goes. But all three songs sound the same. Yeah. When I listen to The Way I Am, I read the book of Matthew, and when Jesus goes to the Jews who didn't kill him in the Sanhedrin, the people of the masses did over the debates they were having with the family. He's the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. Just like him and him, I am whatever you say I am. In the version of the Bible I have, when they go, so they say you're the Messiah, he says, well, you say so.
It ties in. It's all linked. Listen, Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Very entertaining. The listeners have loved it. One listener hasn't, though. Somebody called Shan from Oldham in England. He sent a death threat to you. Do you get many of those?
Death threats?
Yeah.
Unfortunately for my son's maternal grandparents, and they've been trying. It's called showing up for work one day and finding out somebody declares you a pedophile, which is news to you when they are.
Wow. Did that happen? Somebody...
Which doesn't bother me in and of itself, no. But they're rapists, too. That's what I call a death threat.
Right. No, he's not accused you of being a pedophile or anything. He's just literally saying, well, I won't read it, won't give him the airplay. Jeff Trenkle, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Get back to your girlfriend.
One quick question.
Yes.
One quick question. When I save this phone number, what should I put as the title?
Conspiracy.
What do you call yourself?
Conspiracy Worldwide Radio.
Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. Thank you very much.
All right, Jeff.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. God bless. Jeff Trenkle. A perfect way to end the show tonight. Toys R Us, kids.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, studies show I spook tracks. My rapping is fair. Do your homework, practice at home, rap in the mirror, whatever. This is cracking a pipe. It takes a crap on your writing. It literally shits on what you're reciting. I mean, I might as well squat and take a dump in your mouth. That way, there's nothing left to make assumptions about. There isn't. Yeah, this is what the fuss is about. You could download this, but you can't download a gun in your mouth. I'm so dope, I can't see myself. And if the narcs came, the smart thing to do would be to eat myself. Yeah, blowing the crack. It's addictive. Bet Amy Winehouse could just skip to this track.
Come on.
Yeah. Get your Nautica soaked. Lit up like Menorahs. Y'all get smoked behind like a gel.
Come on. Yeah.
I gotta be felt. I make the speakers explode. I ruin studios. The monitors melt.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Up in the place. Ready for war. Do what it takes. Playing the game. Ready to score. This is what we do. Do what you do. We'll do us. Show and prove. Do what you do. We'll do us. Up in the place, ready for war. Do what it takes, playing the game, ready to score. This is what we do what you do, but do us.
show and prove. Do what you do, but do us. Yeah. Don't hesitate to lose if you debate yourself. Think about me and a flesh wound creates itself. Fuck false prophets, my notebook is righteous. You couldn't possibly understand what it took to write this. God raps too, I was created in his likeness. Met him on a mountaintop, he showed me the way to recite this. Look, I'm done with guys thinking they can move this group. That's like a colorblind trying to do a Rubik's Cube. My verses have a deep presence. I make rappers' mothers wanna get reverse C-section. Put it back, I can't believe they really rat that soft. You battling with that, take the little backpack off and quit hand holding. Do you with your hype man and thinking well? What's the plan to look like Peter Pan and Tinkerbell? Well, never, never rap. You weren't booking us, something's wrong with you. You weren't cooked enough. Yeah, up in the place, ready for war. Do what it takes, playing the game, ready to score. This is what we do. Do what you do, we'll do us. Show and prove, do what you do, we'll do us. Yeah, up in the place, ready for war. Do what it takes, playing the game, ready to score. This is what we do, do what you do, we do us. Show and prove, do what you do, we do us. You must have missed the meeting. Punches flying till my fists are bleeding. I hit the meeting, you ain't ready for it. This is teething, this is tedious. Waiting for you to get it, it's eating us up. What can we do? Speed this shit up. What the fuck? If you're a bad rapper, you'll find death waiting. The way I choke you with the bike cord is quite breathtaking. To each his own, I really hate to comment on your sound. But every time I hear you flow, I vomit in my mouth. I wouldn't speak unless spoken to. Your voice is worthless, your work is horrible. You should outsource your verses. You'll see voodoo in the new light. Hunched over on the stage, having back pains. The fans boo you, you grasp average thought. This is Greek to you. I put you back in your mom so she can redo you. You were born whack, I think you rap prematurely. There must be something we can do, some unique surgery. Yeah, up in the place, ready for war. Do what it takes, playing the game, ready to score. This is what we do. Do
be on the lookout, just Google Jeff Trenkel.
Do us. Up in the place.
And that was a sober Jeff Trenkel.
Playing the game.
Trust me, there is much more Jeff Trenkel to come. You're going to meet the real Jeff Trenkel.
Do what you do.
The wavy Jeff Trenkel. In the weeks to come. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I mean everybody live, and everybody's going to be listening now on the podcast. Hit us up on Twitter or on our site we've just set up, the adult version. Twitter. But we're going to finish tonight then with a track which I've not had a chance to play yet. It is quite literally the best track that has been sent through this week. It's by an artist called Johnny Boy Hojean, and he's an artist which says one of his influences is Lil Wayne, and I think you can certainly hear that in the track. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, conspiracyworldwide@gmail.com for all correspondence, all sorts of things. So, Dino's just come into the studio. I thought he'd fallen out. Dino!
Bestiality is a crime, but then eating meat isn't a crime. Which do you think, like, a pig prefers? Being bummed or being, like, turned into bacon?
Strange. What a strange question. Anyway, listen, let's get out now. Go on. Let's now go to our last track of tonight. Johnny Boy Hojean. Hojini, even. The track is literally called Track 6. And I think if you've had any doubts throughout the show about the way that hip-hop is going, DOC might have depressed you a little bit with a few words about hip-hop and everything, I think this will restore your faith. This is the Friday Night Live show. It's Mr. Montana, and it's Menace. Good night, and good luck.
Size game, money coming out and play. Making money, that's my money, baby. Don't touch it, that's my lady, baby. I drive Mercedes, damn, damn. Size game, money is going to the bank. Be going to the bank. You ever know about Johnny Boy Hojean? Chaining, damn, I'm money. Size game, money. Have a good day, day, day. I hope you have a good day. When it come back to my money, baby. Green, green, science get money. But then I bring it back, then I throw me a stack. Stack, stack, how you gonna act? You can beat me.
birthday. You wanna live with me? I got money. Sights game. Money was on a hundred bill. It's my money. Every day is my day. It's my birthday. I'm like, hey, hey, what a good day.
All together.
Hey, hey, sights money.
Catch you next week.
Hey, what a good day.
5 PM EST.
Hey, Saturday Monday. Hey, hey, what a good day. Hey, hey, Saturday Monday. Hey, hey, what a good day.
Bollocks.
Hey, hey, Saturday Monday. Science game says this a good day.
Bollocks.
Coming to the bank, don't mind my slave. Check my chains, it's heavy. I got weeks in my chains. Nigga, bling, bling. I will take your car, you take your girl. Ride her around, show her the world. We can go on tour. Treat a FOMO, I treat a FOMO. Pop that shit, pop that bug. Homie, we got love.
I'm not fucking pulling my fucking pisser or your pisser right now.
Bestiality is a crime.
I'm not fucking pulling my fucking pisser or your pisser right now.